Welcome to the Connected for Real podcast. I'm Revetzin Batren Grossman, a marriage coach for women in business. And my mission is to bring God's presence into your life, into your marriage, and into your business. Let's get started. And we are live. Welcome everyone to the Connected for Real podcast. I'm Revetzin Batren Grossman, and today with me is Sarah Yocheved. We're going to talk about freedom and God. So first, we're going to start with Sarah Yocheved. Introduce yourself.
Okay, so I'm 55 years old, grew up in Muncie, New York, in a Hasidic family, came to Israel 36 and a half years ago, and I got married, half a year after I got married with my husband, and lived in Jerusalem. Anticipating the Beit HaMikdash with happiness. We have 7 children of that, and I'm just passionate about Hashem. Ever since I'm 70 years old, I listened to Rabbi Victor Miller, who was the forerunner of podcasts or anything digital that made Torah available to the public. So he's my major influencer in my life. Rabbi Victor Miller, he had like a certain lens through which he saw Hashem. He got me excited about science, and nowadays I do a couple of things, but one of it is practicing remote quantum telebio energy.
Okay, tell everyone what that means.
Okay, so when we went to school, we learned that everything is energy, right? All mass is energy. So the world is energetic, it's dynamic, and then scientists have been able to discover deeper levels of matter. It was until now, we knew that when we went to school, we learned that the atom was the smallest particle. What about you? Like, what do you remember? What's the smallest particle in this world?
Yeah, I guess the atom was the
thing. Yeah, we didn't learn quantum, We didn't learn quantum physics. We just learned physics. But quantum, at the quantum level, quantum was teeny teeny, at the quantum level, the subatomic parts, and it's a fascinating world out there. Let's divide according to what the name, right? The remote, quantum, Torah, bioenergy, healing. Okay, so first, remote. What is remote? Remote is that you can do it at a distance because quantum physics teaches that particles can be affected or can affect very, very distant if it's riding the frequency. So to break it down, basically, there's 3 parts to bioenergy. Everything is energy, we said. All energy is connected. Frequencies, if you get the right frequency, just like if you can tune into a radio, let's say, if you've got the right frequency, right? Your receiving device. But if you don't, you can't listen to it, but it's there. It's all there. So you have to know how to tap into it. So you can tap into the different frequencies. And because everything is interconnected, there's a way how to do that. And the last part is information. All these waves of energy that the entire universe, not only the world, what's the universe? Rabbi Sebatchen, what's the universe to you? Like, can we understand the universe?
The universe? I don't know. I guess it's the farthest I can think.
It's the entire everything that exists. So we know from the Torah, we're lucky because in the Torah, it's mentioned already much earlier. It's just that now Hashem gave permission for the world, the scientists to discover it. Now, there's a problem with the scientists, some of them. They don't want to agree to it because it's hard to accept. You know, we're talking about God today, our freedom. So it appears the opposite, you know, like people are afraid. If there's a God, so there must be a code of law, which is difficult to follow. So they prefer to ignore it, but everything today, all the computers, there's even quantum computers, the crazy things. I even read that you're not going to need to be in an airplane anymore because you can sort of duplicate yourself and just by thoughts. So that's the thing. By thought, right? By intention, one day you'll be able to just say, I want to be in Australia. Okay? I know how to duplicate myself, ride the waves, and I'm there. So it's an unbelievable thing. Albert Einstein, he called it spooky action at a distance. And that's my second teacher in life. My husband's, I married somebody who is a rest of a chassid. So I remember the fact that Reb Nachman said that Mashiach comes, meaning that the world will be brought to its highest level of tikkun materialistically, a person will think he wants to go to Beit HaMikdash, and whoops, he's there. So I think it's related. I think it has something to do with this quantum mechanics and quantum physics, because everything we know, all sciences in medical equipment, in aerial equipment, in satellite equipment, anything you do is who's doing it, who's bringing it to us. It's the discoveries of the quantum scientists. So it's fascinating. So information, that's what I'm talking about now, that is everything out there in the entire universe, which is, we don't even know, we can't imagine what a universe is, because we know our Milky Way, and that has like billions, they say, many, many, many others. And also that there's also spiritual worlds, not only physical ones that we're talking about. That's huge and vast. And by the way, if you want to know why it has to be so fast, why Hashem have to create it this way? So I just saw from Rabbi Victor Miller, my teacher, comes into my inbox nowadays. People used to ask him questions. And one of the questions was, why it's so, that's because we should be humbled by Hashem. We should realize like what a nothing, nothing we are next to Hashem. So we should be able to praise Hashem much more to realize that there's not enough, you know, someone was asking, you know, the sperm, there's like billions of sperm that come out, one of them is needed to fertilize the egg, to have babies. I mean, that's crazy, right? We need billions of them, but five, six, you know, billions to show the greatness of Hashem, wherever we go with it. So this just fascinates me, the quantum thing. And what I do is based on these three principles, that's the bioenergy principle. Okay, so we say three things, right? This is what quantum physics says. Quantum physics says that everything is energy, and energy has frequencies, and that energy carries in it huge amount of information. So as a therapist, we learn techniques how to access that information that's riding on the frequencies of energy. So we connect to the energy, and that can be done at a distance, because another major principle of quantum science is entanglement. You heard it? Entanglement. What's entanglement?
When I think of entanglement, I'm thinking your marriage and your business and how entangled they are, and how to, you know, unravel that so that you can have a better life. But you're probably talking about a different type of entanglement.
Yeah, it reminds me of, like, I'm from Hungarian extraction, and in Hungary, you know how they used to test, like, the future mother-in-law would come, and she would want to know how capable her Kala is. You know what they used to do? They used to give her a huge knot, not a piece of strings. She had to just untangle that. She was able to do it. Okay, great Kala, welcome. Mazel tov.
It's testing your patience. It's seeing how well you can sit through something hard and, you know, figure it out.
Exactly.
And the truth is, I think that the test was less about untangling the actual physical thing and more seeing how you react to the frustration, right?
Yeah.
And I don't believe in testing your brides, you know, I don't believe in testing anyone, but I think that it's always really good just for ourselves to be aware of how we react to certain things.
Yes, like facing challenges. That's actually one of the red lights of, like, the guy or the girl is exploding at every little thing, you know, one of the red signs. Don't go near there, you're right. So even in their simple lives, they have what to offer us for living advice, right?
Yeah. Okay, so go back to the entanglement.
Yeah, so we got the energy, the frequency, and the information. And the entanglement means that it's all connected. So if I can be able to pinpoint and tap in to everyone's energy pathways, because it's all entangled. You got it?
Yeah, it's like a net.
Fascinating. It's science.
Yeah. I think one of the coolest things is that, you know, our life, when we think of our souls and how we are all connected and we're like a net. And so I think that's what you're talking about when you talk about entanglement. It's like all of us are connected, but we don't see it. So we think we are our own people. We think we're a unit.
Yeah. That's what actually in the book called Tomer Devorah, written by Rabbi Moshe Cardivero. And in Chabad studies, it's taught that Hashem actually planted great people, great righteous people in each generation. So all of us, I don't know about you, you're the representative, but simple folks can tap into them. And they can also get connected to Hashem through that. And I really think that the energy waves is a beautiful kind of metaphor for it.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's the body energy part. Now this can be done remotely, we said. And now we go like, so what are the tools, right? So there's a bunch of tools. The idea is that if the energy lines are open and free, so that reflects in a healthy body, mind, spirit, and finances too. That's a surprise for you, being a coach for business women. So that's also our finances. So the whole idea is...
Actually, there is no surprise there. I do see that finances are a direct correlation to how we are in our being, right? So when we open up to abundance and we can expand ourselves, the abundance comes and it's very correlated. So I'm not surprised.
I love that because we have a community here, a small one, but it's a growing community of Shefa catchers, which is abundant catchers. Did you know that in the morning prayers, there's a bunch of different prayers praising Hashem, the Psukei Dezimra, which is praises of Hashem. There's a prayer, I'll say it first in Hebrew and I'll translate it. It's Poseach Es Yadecha. You open your hands, because we have to have an image, right, of what giving is. Umas Bia L'chol Chai Ratzon, and just showering upon every living soul, even animals, anybody, any living soul, Ratzon, which is like their desires. You know, not Hashem's desires, their desires. So what we're saying is, and I heard that it's a practice of Jews from Sephardic extract to actually open their hands and do the act of bringing this down, because catching Shefa is first believing in it, that it exists, and just being open, like you just said, open to be able to catch it. So that's part of it. So where the thought goes, that's where the energy flows. So if your mind is on catching the Shefa, that's how it's going to come to us. So what the Sarah, it's just a vast information, and to be able to contract it into words is like a little difficult. So what's the role of the therapist? The role of the therapist is to see where there are blockages of energy, whether it's, we said, financial, physical, emotional, or even spiritual, and to open those blockages, right? To open them and to clear them. Then that could be done out of this. And to infuse, right? So we got the removing the extra, the extraneous, the blockages, but infusing good stuff there. So there's a lot of healing happening. How do you do it? We use Amuna, the belief of Hashem. Everything is Hashem. We're just a channel, because Victor Miller, again, he says, Hashem is a sort of kind of energy, type of energy, the energy behind all energies. And I'm very grateful that I saw this, because this makes it even more nice, really amazing. But he says that Hashem is the energy of all of the energies. He's the koach. He's the power, the higher power behind everything. And the word for power in Hebrew are the two letters of Aleph and Lamed, Hebrew letters, spell Kel. And that means the superpower, the base of all energies, behind all energies. So you see how everything is interconnected? And this is how, at a soul level, we connect to Hashem. That's, to me, fascinating. So we got this Amuna. We believe that Hashem is just allowing this amazing healing. Say it in the morning prayers also, because we say Hashem is constantly creating refuah, which is healing. Hashem has, this is a healing gift from Hashem, through Hashem. And we're just like conduits. So we have the Amuna, the belief in belief in a creator, and we have prayer. So we talk to Hashem, we infuse whatever we want, whatever we're infusing in the person that we know is the person is stuck with. So we turn up to Hashem, we ask Hashem to do it. And right. The third thing is hope. And the hope is, like, people hear, wow, there's a way to What we do is not alternative medicine. We don't ever tell people you got to get off your medications, whether it's medications for physical or emotional stuff that a person's going through. We just have ways. It's called, and it's included in the law of America nowadays that it is a valid kind of practice. There are hospitals that use it, hospitals with cancer patients, even hospice patients who are like slowly but surely leaving this world. So quantum, remote quantum bioenergy, or just quantum bioenergy, doesn't have to be remote, it could be also remote, helps them feel good about it, helps them uplift a person to be able to experience what they're experiencing. So it's part of complementary medicine. And the idea of hope is that, the placebo effect, people say, oh, let's say homeopathy. I study a little bit of homeopathy. They go to placebo. Well, if it's a placebo and it makes people well, it's a great placebo. The idea with the placebo is also that if a person gets hope, the body goes into self-healing because really Hashem gave us, Hashem put into us, God put into us healing systems that the body revitalizes. When that doesn't happen, you need medicines and outside interventions. So what we do, give hope, person has new hope, things could become amazing.
Yeah.
That's what I do. If you have time, you have time for a little story.
Yeah, I'll hold this story for just a second. I want to just give you a thought. I was thinking about all the grandmothers who pray, pray for the grandchildren, pray for the soldiers, pray, pray, pray. And you would think, like, what does that have to do with anything? But that's exactly what it has to do with everything, right? Because we're all connected, we're all interconnected, and everything that we do and we put into the world and we use, especially prayer is words, and it is hope, and it is faith, and it is trust. And all of this beautiful energy is being put out into the world and is rising everybody else up. And so I think of that as a perfect example of what you're talking about, how, we are all interconnected and you don't need to be touching someone or being with someone in order to raise their level of, being.
100%. And I saw a clip. Someone wrote that she has a Tehillim group. She has a Psalm group for little kids. They come and say Psalms together. They get prizes. So when those two Argentinian citizens, when they were rescued, it was 1:40 p.m. They're in America. That was the exact time when she had this feeling, right? Where'd you get that feeling from? That feeling that now is like a great time to pray, and they just all prayed like with heart, with their whole body and soul to Hashem, and they got rescued.
Yeah.
That's not a coincidence.
Yeah, I have this thing that sometimes hits me. I get these like feelings and it's crazy. Sometimes you call the other person, you're like, is everything okay? Like, how do you know?
Right, intuition. So that's the
Yeah.
information. That's the intuition is tapping into that energy. And I don't know if you heard of it, but in the Hasidic books, they're called the Holy Svarim, the Holy Books. There's a lot of talk of tapping into the energy. There's a whole book. I'm sure that you probably heard of, the Bnei Yisachar. You heard of him? So,
No.
okay. So I'll tell you about him, because many people, it's a whole book a month, the energies of the month and how to tap into it. It's fascinating, this whole, so that's the Torah bioenergy.
Cool. So,
So
okay,
you
now
know,
tell us the story that you were going to tell us, because that gives me
it's really a story that it was
amazing.
a rabbi, and people used to come to this rabbi for help, for counseling, for advice, etc. When they were sick, they would come and ask him what to do and pour out their hearts to him. And when someone came, and a group of brothers came and said, our brother has cancer and he's dying and he's depressed. And what's going to be with his wife and kids and all of that? So the Rebbe said, no, I give you now a blessing. He's going to live. He said it like, I promise you, he's going to live. Sorry for that. And that person died. So now the guy came back to the Rebbe. Hey, you promised. You're supposed to be a miracle worker. How could that happen? So you know what the Rebbe answered? The Rebbe said, my job is to give hope. Because whenever there's hope, Hashem put in God. Put into, and this is also science, put into the person such a survival instinct, but that's only when he had hope. Remember all the Holocaust stories? Whoever lived enough to be a Holocaust story recorder or author, wrote a book about it, that's because they had hope. In each book, I find it. It's very fascinating to me. Whether the mother gave them this blessing that they're going to live, they had something that kept them with hope. And that's what the power of hope can do. And what we do is, if a person feels stuck, if not, there's plenty of, like, you know, plenty of different things that everyone does, like praying, you say, filling out, like knowing that something is wrong with someone who we're so connected with, you know, we're so aligned with. It's called being aligned. Our frequencies are aligned with the people we love. We can help someone, even if they're far away. It's just when a person is stuck, then we have the techniques that tell and know where what the root of it. Yeah, it's a fascinating thing. Okay.
Hey, before we continue the episode, I want to ask you something. Are you ready to get answers from God directly? Feel more in love with your husband and more supported than ever? Run the business of your dreams without having to sacrifice any other part of your life? That is exactly what my one-on-one private coaching is for, and I want to invite you, just you and me, for a free deep dive discovery call. This is a 60-minute free call where I ask you lots of questions and we extract the three main things that are holding you back. I then put together a personalized plan for you where I create a roadmap of recommendations with practical steps. The call is free and so valuable in itself, so go book yours today. Now, back to the show. So let me ask you a question. Let's get practical, because people are like, ooh, I want to get on the same frequency as my husband, or I want to feel like I'm aligned with the people around me or my kids or my clients or whatever. How do I tap into that alignment in order to get that connection?
Okay, so I gotta give everyone a tip, yeah? If you can't do it alone, come to the therapist, I'll do it for you. If you like the easy life, you know, like popping pills, you can also do that. But if you want to learn something, it's all about intention. That's all it takes, intention. So you want to align yourself with Hashem, the will of Hashem, God's will. You know, God's will is what keeps the world up. It's through energy, right? So you can just say it. You can set an intention. I set an intention every single day for myself that I just want to view the world, experience the world out of love and happiness. And that's my energy space. I only accept love and happiness to be able to serve Hashem happily. So whether it's decorating my home the way I love, you know, anything that causes me to be able to be loving and happy, that's what I want to do. So I set my intention for that. In our prayer book, I mention the prayer book a lot because it teaches me, I get a lot of information out of the prayer book, like amazing stuff. So I just have to set my intention to be aligned with and see what happens. It's amazing. So if you have a average marriage, let's say, that's wonderful and it's going to work. But if there's trauma in the marriage, probably better to ask a therapist, because we also give, you know, we, as a coach, right, there's also advice and different terms. And mostly people who have trauma just need to be listened to, mostly. To be listened to, and the therapist needs to have, it's called in Hebrew, Siyata Dishmaya, which is divine assistance or divine providence, to be able to tune in. Because if the therapist is not riding on the waves and it's not getting connected, it's not going to happen.
I hear this. So basically what I'm taking from this is that The first step is you have to align with God's will. You have to bring God into the situation. And then, you know, from that, you can align with your intention. You can align with the other people. You can really, you know, be on a frequency that accepts what's happening, you know, beyond you. But first, if you're feeling stuck, just pause, take a deep breath, and bring God in.
Yeah, that's what you do, right? I know that you do that. You mentioned it already to me. So what does God to do with God and freedom?
Yeah, let's talk about that.
It gives you a lot of freedom. So first, we've got to talk about God, right? So I call God the creator. Why? Because if I'm created, I already have an obligation to my creator. If I'm just a created being, I'm dependent on something. Now, let's say, I was thinking today, I said, like, what could be like a metaphor for it, for assumed freedom? Some people think doing what they want is like freedom, and the true freedom. So I was thinking just like even just a washing machine. If someone manufactured a washing machine, right? So firstly, is he going to want people to use it and have benefit from it? So the first thing, what's he going to do? He's not only going to send their washing machine, but along with that, the instruction manual, right? Now, someone says, I don't want to look into that. I want to be free to do whatever I want. So he takes his, like, I'm not into fashion so much, but I know when something is pretty, but I don't know who the fashion, the statements on nowadays who they are. But when I was small, younger, a little bit, Pierre Cardin, you know. So let's say someone takes a gorgeous cotton wool piece of stunning outfit. They just throw it into their washing machine and they turn it on 90 degrees because they just want to be free to do whatever they want. So we all understand that a manufacturer who's manufacturing things shows that he has plan and intelligence and meant it to serve us. So you want to be able to utilize it. And the manufacturer set instructions so you can be free and the real freedom to use it wisely and get it to work for you. So it's the exact same thing. Like a washing machine is nothing when we just discussed what quantum physics can do. I have to find quantum mechanics, like what it does. You know, just going to hospitals nowadays and see the fascinating equipment and on a plane, you know, traveling on a plane and all the GPS and what, it's unbelievable. So would Hashem leave an instruction manual? I mean, we see the wisdom in Hashem, and we also see that Hashem is so kind, because everything in this world is done in such a kind way. Now, therefore, Hashem did leave a manual. He left a manual for the entire universe, not only for Jews. For us as Jews, you know, follow, which will be following the Torah. But Hashem left through his Torah also messages and instructions for everybody. Why? Because he wanted us to have the freedom to make our choices. But we don't have freedom. We don't have freedom if we're born healthy. We don't have freedom of our circumstances, whether we're going to be rich or poor. But what we do have freedom over is how we're going to experience the world, what kind of character traits we're going to use to deal with this world. And that's a fascinating world of free choice. It's called free choice. And in the Torah, it says, so Hashem says, it's Hashem's message. And it's really what Hashem said. That's also a crazy thing. Like, if you think about it, what, God like left a message to us? Yes. And there it says, Re'eh, I gave you a choice. See, I gave you a choice to do good, and I gave you a choice to do not good. Hashem is asking us to behave correctly, just like the manufacturer says. He's not giving any guarantee if the person abused his washing machine.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is fascinating. You know, could you imagine? I know about myself that I had to do a lot of coaching around systems because I'm so in flow and I like to be, you know, spontaneous, and I'm an artist and I like to be creative, and I don't want anybody telling me what to do. So I don't want a calendar, and I don't want systems, and I don't want to have routines, and I don't want to have all these things because they, you know, get in the way of my freedom of just expressing myself and being and all these things. But in reality, when I actually broke it down with an amazing coach of mine, Yael Rivka Jofi, she was amazing. And we really got to the bottom of it, and we're like, actually, I am constantly reinventing and constantly working harder because I'm not leaning on the systems. And like you say, having the structure, having the systems, having the manual to know, oh, this is what the structure of my day is, and this is where I have the freedom to do whatever I want. And I have the freedom to go or not go to yoga, but I know I have yoga every Sunday morning. So there's a spot in my calendar that's telling me what to do. Same thing. I really love that explanation that you said with the machines, because, you know, this is a super simple thing. But even if you get a washing machine, you don't know how to use it, and then you use it wrong, like, what was the point of getting it?
Right. Mm-hmm. So I'm the opposite, and I love systems, and I'm artistic, Baruch Hashem. I'm lucky because it might come to surprise its people that I grew up Hasidic, but not Stam. Real, the super duper Satmar, if you're a Hasidic. I mean, it's like, but I was lucky that my parents had to pay the price for it, but they certainly led their lives thinking independently, not just following blindly. So that's freedom. It's freedom. I want to be aligned with Hashem's will because he's the manufacturer and that's his instructions. But I look into the books to feel if it's right or wrong, not what other people are doing. So I had this thing that the opposite, you know, the idealism of wanting not be perfect, but that everyone else should think about me that I'm perfect. And the opposite. You know, I didn't realize this whole person wants to be like free to do whatever they want. And really, an artist is. An artist takes material and produces something from it. And look, I think that's like amazing. Most people, if they would want to be considered, you know, the God of the universe, they wouldn't allow this freedom. I mean, you know, think of all these dictators in the world. But Hashem, he's so kind. He shares himself with us. And within certain parameters, you can create whatever you want. You cannot create an idol. You know, you can't do that. Because we have to be grateful. We have to be grateful for the creator who made this gorgeous world for us. And we just can't, you know. But it's endless, right? What you can do with your creativity.
Yeah.
So really, I'm a creative person, but it never came out so much. I'm creative in making structures and making systems. So when I was a teacher, I support structures, different things. So I needed to break out of that and be more like you.
I love it.
You want to hear about that?
Okay, so go ahead.
Okay, so I'll tell you. So, okay, so Rabbi Nachman, he speaks about a certain... You heard of Rabbi Nachman?
Yes, of course.
Rabbi Nachman of Breslov, we're talking about, right? So he taught a very interesting concept. And that is, you know, if you heard of Rabbi Nachman, did you hear about, like, the Kotzke Rebbe? Heard of that?
Yes.
The Rebbe of Kotzke? So what happened to his descendants? Was there, like, a chain? Is there, like, nowadays someone that cuts the Rebbe also?
I have no idea.
There's all the different branches, like Gore. Heard about Gore?
Yes.
Yeah, there's like a whole bunch of them. But are they the same? Like, you think of like nowadays the same kind of situation as it was 200 years ago?
Of course not.
They're connected to the original Rebbe in any way?
Well, in lineage, I'm sure.
If they learn their books, could be. But that's what they do. But most people, because the generations become a little bit like descend a little bit. So it's not the same level of spirituality as it was. But But Rabbi Nachman, yeah, to me, this is my interpretation of it. And the great thing about it is, you want to hear freedom in God, Rabbi Nachman gave permission. He left a book of stories that are metaphors and allegories of deep, deep power secrets. And he asked that it should be written in Hebrew, but at the bottom or the top, I'm not sure, should be written in Yiddish language, because it doesn't mean that language specifically, because ladies should also be able to learn it and take out the advice. So you can look at this creative, liberated, Hasidic, brilliant, piece of brilliance. And he said, it's for the ladies. And there's so many concepts. So it starts out that the Rebbe was on a journey. So we have a group and that we learn it together. It's just like a round table discussion and everyone just takes out the great advice there. The life's a journey. Life's a journey. So what I was talking about, this Rebbe Nachman, he taught a concept of that people worship their image. That's what I was doing. I didn't realize it. And it's written in one of those stories that I was telling you about. There's 13 stories. The ninth story is called The Simpleton and the Sophisticate. So the simpleton is like happy. He's a cobbler and he's selling shoes for people. And it's not coming out so straight. He doesn't worry about his image. And the same cobbler is like, yeah, my wife, thank you for the delicious meat. And all he had was dry piece of bread, excuse me. He had a dry piece of bread and he's thanking, oh, this tastes delicious, this meat. You know, and the next course is getting bread, but this time it's like, wow, your talent, like you're an amazing cook. This dessert tastes heavenly. But is the other guy, the sophisticated, he's like constantly worshiping his image. So people worship images. And it means that they want people to believe what they're not. And what it is it's living in lie. It's living in a delusion, you know. So that worshiping, that image, gets a person into a lot of love, a lot of stress and duress. And they're not free to be. Because let's say, I'll tell you about myself. My mother-in-law came to visit from all across the ocean. But I happened to have a miscarriage there. My house wasn't what I wanted her to believe it was always. I don't let her in. Get it? I did not let her come into my house. So I call that. I gave her like I call it ABC. And A is worshiping an image is wanting to be perfect, like perfection would never exist anyway, but it enslaves a person. He has no freedom. That's why when Hashem gave me this gift, that I declared myself not ABC. I'm not an angel. A is an angel. I make mistakes. If Hashem wanted to be an angel, he would create me an angel. In our morning prayers, there's beautiful prayers telling us about how the angels worship Hashem perfectly. Never make mistakes, never do anything wrong. They're like perfect. But Hashem made me as a human to be able to make mistakes and to also apologize for the mistakes and to say, you know what, maybe one day I want to be better. One day I want to be more in line with what the Torah says we should be. So that's a little, the B stands for brilliant, which means like, I always have to say smart things. So if I say a dumb thing, then I'm devastated. Like, oh, like, what are they thinking? I come home after the wedding and I said a dumb thing. And I'm just like obsessing about it. How stupid could I be? You know, so that's extremely restrictive. And the C is for correct. Like, I always must be right. So it's, can you feel like the pressure of that this creates? This is like being enslaved. So being liberated is to just know, you know, I'm here to be corrected. Please, I need your feedback.
I love that. I love the ABCs. So let's just say them again for all of our listeners. Let that sink in, okay? Freedom from being an angel, freedom from being brilliant, and freedom from being correct all the time, right? Because that need to be perfect is going to get in your way of actually living life, of actually fulfilling your purpose in this world. Because if God wanted you to be perfect, He would have made you perfect. But He obviously didn't. So we're not meant to be angels. We're not meant to be correct all the time. We're not meant to be perfect. We are meant to be in this interaction with other people, sometimes be corrected, sometimes correct others, sometimes, you know, show our weaknesses, sometimes be vulnerable. And all those are gifts for us to really come alive, because that's when you really are yourself, when you can be imperfect.
Right. So to connect it with God, right? God of liberty and freedom. So that's when you're really free to be as God wants it. This is what Hashem wants. This is what God wants from us, to be ourselves, to serve Him from our real selves, and not to be worried about other people. So just, can I give a tip, another tip?
Yes, another go tip for it. However,
there's a second aspect to it, and that is an amazing aspect that has to do also with praying, because I love my prayer book. Connected with my prayer book. My husband happens to buy every new prayer book that comes out with new explanations. And there's one that he, you know, that the special one for me is amazing. And I love to learn it while I'm praying. And Hashem sends me beautiful, God sends me beautiful insights along the way. And one of the things, and it matches up to quantum physics, and one of the things that I learned so much is, when you're praying, like when you're dreaming, dream big. Pray for everything. That can only be when you're not ABC. You know why? Because if I'm brilliant, I'm the most brilliant always, is there a place for me to ask God for anything? And unfortunately, a person like that, he won't get it. He thinks he's so smart, but really he's not, because Rabbi Natan, the primary student of Rabbi Nachman, who says, a smart person knows that there's such a vast amount of information out there, he'll never know everything. So therefore, in a prayer, we pray, Hashem, please give me, let's behave smartly, because I want that, right? I know I can't without you, so please fill me up. And a lot of prayers are like that, whether it's for financial stuff or for even spiritual, to go higher spiritually. And certainly there's a prayer to regret what we did and to just ask Hashem to forgive us. That's it, simple. But if I can never make a mistake, I can never ask for forgiveness. And if I'm an angel, I don't need food. I don't need anything. And right. No one can call me up with that. But Hashem says, also with the prayers we say it, it's really a verse from Psalms. And that is, Hashem says, open your mouth and I'll fill it up. I'll fill it up with what? With praise to you. I ask Hashem, he gives me. You gotta do it to experience it. There's another verse in Psalms, I think I'll end with that. And it says, taste and see that God is good. Now, I saw a commentary on that by the Chafetz Chaim. And he writes, if you're not gonna taste the latest ice cream or shake, you're not gonna know what it tastes like. You gotta do it, right? Just do it. So you gotta taste that delicious thing of just asking from Hashem, that God wants us to ask Him and He'll give it to us. But if you don't do it, you're not going to know it exists.
Yes. Oh, I love this. This is such a good point to end with, because, you know, God gives you everything you need, but He also gives you wants, and He creates that space of lack so that you can turn to Him and you can have a relationship. And I love that you said, you know, taste it and see how good God is. Taste that feeling of asking God for what you really want. You know, in my calm method, connect to yourself, find what you want, and then turn to God and ask Him for that abundance. That's when you could start to see and listen for the answers, and you master a higher level of consciousness just by being able to tap into that want, to that will, to that thing that feels like, oh, I don't really need it. It's extra. I'm not sure if it's worthwhile to ask. No, that's where God wants you. Yes, ask me and I will show you. And then you're going to be blown away. That's exactly it. And I love that, because it ties right back into freedom and into the freedom that we have within our relationship with God. God is giving us the choice, but he's also giving us the knowledge of how to make that choice. And so it's very, very clear if you get really honest and really humble, right? We said ABC, the C is for, you know, being correct all the time. It's like, if I can be incorrect, if I can just lower that a little bit and be like, I don't know everything and I'm humbled by the fact that you do, and I see that you want me to want. So let me ask you for that. Let me see how things are going to pan out. That's when things start to really work and things get easy and things get in flow and you're like, whoa.
And you're living in that space of freedom. That's a very free state.
It's so beautiful. Thank you so much, Sarah Yocheved. Tell us where people can find you, how they can work with you, how to follow up.
Okay, so firstly, thank you for giving me the platform. So I have a website. It's called torahbioenergy.com. TORAHBIOENERGY.com.
That's amazing. And all that is going to be linked in the show notes below. Thank you so much for listening and thank you so much for being here. I am so excited because now we're in the month of freedom. Now we spoke about freedom with God, freedom with business, freedom in marriage, freedom in you. How do we really tap into that freedom? There's so much gold in here. So make sure you tune in for next week's episode with more amazing guests. And thank you so much for being here. Don't forget to be connected for real. And that's it. Thank you for listening to the very end. I would love if you can leave a review and subscribe to the podcast. Those are things that tell the algorithm this is a good podcast and make sure to suggest it to others. Wouldn't it be amazing if more people became more connected for real? And now take a moment and think of someone who might benefit from this episode. Can you share it with them? I am Revetzin Batren Grossman from connectedforreal.com. Thank you so much for listening, and don't forget, you can be connected for real.